This is a KUNV Studios original program.
The content of this program does not reflect the views or opinions of 91.5 Jazz and More, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, or the Board of Regents of the Nevada System of Higher Education.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Let's Talk UNLV Public Radio, KUNV 91.5. I'm your host today, Dr. Sammy Scales. My co-host is out today on campus, taking care of things on campus. I have a special guest with me today, Dr. Reyes Luna. He is the Director of Student Diversity Programs. Welcome to the show, Dr. Reyes.
Thank you, Dr. Scales. I'm happy to be here.
Thank you. Well, the way that we start the show, we like to start the show by asking our guests their origination story. So please tell us, where are you from and how did you end up here at UNLV, of all places?
Oh, that's a good story. Okay, so I'm originally from Compton, California, born and raised, as my friends will say, straight out of Compton is correct. I'm a product of the system, so I love being from an LA background. Came to UNLV, so my origin story to UNLV is kind of strange. I retired from my previous institution, where I was the executive director for student housing at Cal Poly Pomona University. I was there 23 years, early retired, moved to Vegas, always wanted to live in Vegas as my retirement destination. Got here, I was retired for 2.5 weeks. Before I started working at UNLV as a letter of appointment for student diversity programs as the assistant director. Again, it was one of those funny stories. Dr. DMC, I happened to work with her in her beginning stages at Cal Poly Pomona. We were both working in diversity programs. She was doing Greek life. So I knew her way back then in 2002. Moved here. I knew her travel stories were very similar to mine. Living in LA, spouse living in Nevada, and doing those drives back and forth takes a toll. So I knew she made her way to UNLV. So I just happened to reach out and say, hey, letting you know I'm officially retired, living in Vegas full time. If you need help in any shape or form, because I know you're new to your role, happy to join in where I can. Her question to me is, when can you start?
Oh.
And 2.5 weeks later, I was the letter of appointment for assistant director for student diversity programs. I now am the official director. That search ended in February. And so March 25th, I started off as the new director for student diversity programs.
Excellent, excellent story. So how are you liking your new role?
I came in at the busiest time of the year because, as you know, we're going to be talking about affinity graduations. Those are all happening next week. So we had Cultural Heritage Months that we just finished planning. We just got on the wrapping up of the APMA Heritage Month celebrations. We just finished with Women's History and Black History Month. So busy times.
Yeah, exactly. That's a very busy time to come in on at UNLV. Let's dive right into this, because like you just said, we are going to be talking about graduations, so the affinity graduation. So what inspired the creation of affinity graduations here at UNLV?
So that's another good story, because as I'm new to this campus, I'm starting to find out from other folks who have been here what has been the origin story. I know for the Native American graduation, I believe they're on their 24th graduation. So they've been at UNLV for some time. Mm-hmm. I still haven't finalized what the actual dates are for all of them, which that's going to be my new task. It'd be important to document how far back they've been here at UNLV, but I know they've been here. Yeah. And so not only on this campus, but other campuses across the country, they have these affinity graduations. And so I'm just really happy to see that UNLV, with its diverse student populations, was at least 20 plus years with these in mind.
Wow. Can you tell us about some of the affinity group graduations that's taking place here, like maybe in the next week or 2 weeks here at UNLV?
Yes, Dr. Scales. We're having our very first affinity graduation, which will start on May 7th. So we'll start on May 7th and go through May 10th. May 7th is our Lavender graduation for our LGBTQ plus IA students. And so that will be held, as I said, on May 7th from 6 to 9 p.m. The location for the graduation is going to be offsite. We're going to be at the center, which is located 4 miles away from campus. It's the LGBT Center for Nevada.
Okay, fairly close to the campus.
Fairly close. The next day, we'll be jumping right on into OPIME graduation, which will be starting at 11 till 1 in the ballroom in the student union.
Okay. Now, for those students that don't know what it means when you say OPIME graduations, what do those acronyms stand for?
Good question. The OPIME stands for Asian Pacific Islander Middle Eastern.
Okay.
And so that one, again, as I mentioned, is on May 8th from 11 to 1 in the Student Union Ballrooms. The next day is our Latinx graduation. And so that one will be on May 9th. That is from 5 to 8 p.m. in the ballrooms, Student Union. May 10th, we have two happening. We have the Native graduation, which is going to be taking place on May 10th from 5 to 7 p.m. in the theater. And then we have May 10th as well, the African American Alliance graduation, which is from 7 to 10 p.m., also located in the ballroom in the Student Union.
Excellent. So that's a lot of graduations coming up back to back to back to back. So I'm sure a lot of planning goes along with this. So what's the planning like when you're doing something this huge? Because these are totally different, all different graduations, and you have to like kind of sort of stay around those themes. So what's that planning process like?
It's a lot of planning. It's a lot of juggling. It's a lot of conversations with different affinity groups. We want to make sure that we're getting the faculty staff of each of these cultural identities to be a part of the conversation. Some are a lot more active than some of the affinity groups that are smaller and younger. And so it's a balance of trying to make sure that we're incorporating the student feedback, the faculty staff feedback, and it can fall within budget for how to present the best experience for our graduates as we can. And trying to stay true to the cultural component of their affinity groups, so that knowing that there's a diaspora of multi-cultures and ethnicities within a specific group, Asian Pacific Islander, Middle Eastern, for example, there's many different countries and cultures that fall within that. And so it's just paying attention to the fact that there's multiple identities within these subgroups that we're representing in these affinity graduations. So that takes a lot. We're a very short staff team, as you know, as my colleague.
Yes.
In Student Diversity Programs. We're a mighty team of three. Two of them are letters of appointment, and then we have somebody who's helping out in a small capacity, which is a huge thing for us, which is Imani Patterson.
Yes.
And so Raven is helping on out. So we've got these other staff members that have been volunteering. And I say volunteering because it's a lot more than what's in their job description to help plan these graduations. And so we're trying to create these committees that are going to be established for future years. This year, we just needed to make it happen. A lot of us were new. We didn't have a lot of the history. And so making sure that they happen for this graduating class was very important. And that was the focus. And so it was reaching out to the affinity groups. It was asking those who may have been a part of the planning or at least attended what had been your experience so that we can then again kind of incorporate that for this year, knowing that next year's graduations, I guarantee, will be a lot bigger and better. But our numbers are actually very good right now. As of today, we pulled some numbers. We're looking like we're going to have good attendance for our graduates, more so than the previous year. And so that's for me a good indication that we're building something that's going to pre-exist us at my time at UNLV. And so I want to make sure that that's a legacy that all of our grads feel like they can participate and contribute and be acknowledged and recognized for the diversity that this university offers. And connecting it back to the cultural dynamic of where they're from. allowing our students to be their authentic selves is important. And I think that's what we've tried to incorporate with your question of what is in the planning process? What do we take into consideration? And it's a lot of, hey, let's ask the question. We may not know the answer. Let's see who does. And if we don't get an answer, we then make the best attempt possible with the knowledge that we have. So we can't please everyone, but our goal is to make this a worthwhile experience for our students so that they're fondly remembering their time at UNLV.
Wow. So what I hear from your answer to this question is I'm hearing a lot of collaboration across campus. You being able to connect with different departments and with different people and pulling this all together to get the voices from across campus with all of these affinity groups to make sure that they have a sense of belonging at these particular graduations. So I'm hearing collaborations, I'm hearing sense of belonging. These are all of the things that I'm hearing mm-hmm. you speaking about. So, and to make it sure that it's something that is memorable. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and when someone is working with a group, let's say like Appy May, for instance, there's tons of different culture of people that falls under that. And you want to make sure that they're representing mm-hmm. it.
Exactly.
You know, that they see something there that represents their culture. So,
For SDP, we're really working on the Lavender, Appy May, Latinx, and we've just started helping a lot more with the Native. Mm-hmm. But the African American Alliance graduation, that is a well-oiled machine that's been done not through the Department of Student Diversity Programs. And so that one, I know there's a lot more of the faculty staff that are in the planning of that. Which you're also part of that committee.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely.
So SDP is in support, but we're not trying to take over something that's been producing great success. And so we want to just make sure that we're helping when we can and, again, being as supportive of a colleague and collaborate to the best of our ability.
Absolutely. That sounds great. So what steps are taken to ensure that affinity graduation are accessible and welcoming to all students, which I think you kind of touched on, but could you talk about that a little bit more?
Well, again, it's important that we're trying to reach all of our students. And so when we send out through Involvement Center the opportunity for students to participate, we really wanted to make sure that students are really pushing forward the information to all students who are graduating. So we're not just looking like, did they mark a box and said that they may identify in a certain way? We send it out to graduates. And so they can self-select which affinity graduation they would like to participate in. People have multi-identities. And so then they can choose to be not just in this day. Again, we want them to be their authentic selves. Mm-hmm. If somebody is biracial, we're not saying pick one. You can pick both. You can pick three. And if you're an ally, you can pick all. And so we're really hoping that students who are coming forward to these graduations feel as though that they can participate as long as they're coming to their graduation respectful and wanting to be a part. And this may have been maybe not their identity, but they grew up with it. And that's their background. And so we're allowing them to participate in that sense.
Excellent, excellent. So how are student speakers selected for the affinity graduations? Do you have student speakers for that?
We do have student speakers. And again, that's where the collaboration comes into place. We start asking our affinity groups, do they have speakers that they would like to nominate or recommend? And then that starts our list. And then from there, we start to then reach out to folks to see, one, if they're available during that time and date. And also, especially with our student speakers, we wanted to make sure that, one, they've already registered themselves to participate in the graduation, and then making sure that we're getting nominations. And so that's how our speakers, we kind of reach on out, find out who may be a potential student speaker, and then we reach out and ask them if this was something that they see themselves being able to do. We've had folks who declined. Public speaking is probably something that they'd rather not have to do. And so they're like, yeah, I'm good. I just want to graduate. And others were people who applied to be commencement speakers who may not have gotten it to be the larger traditional graduation commencement speaker, but now this gives them an opportunity to be a speaker at their cultural affinity graduation.
Absolutely. So. And then they, you know, they have, of course, you know, family and friends that are there at those personal graduations. Now, are there student speakers for undergrad and grad opportunities? Undergrad speaker graduating with a bachelor's degree or master's or higher for the grad student?
What we did for all of these affinity groups is we opened it up for any student who is graduating, whether it's a bachelor's, master's, doctorate, to be invited to be a speaker. So for, I know some graduations typically have an undergrad and a post speaker. We're just trying to make sure that we are open to any of them coming on in and being diverse in that selection. So we're having two speakers, and if we have the ability to have somebody who's a postdoctor, a post bachelor degree and an undergrad, then we're going to want one of each. And if our nominations are coming in and they're all undergrad speakers, then we're going to go with what our nominations are coming in as, instead of just saying, we're not going to look at that. We're just going to pick our own. Mm-hmm. We're really trying to make sure that we're getting the feedback and using that and applying it at this point in time.
Excellent, excellent. So what role do faculty and staff play in supporting these affinity graduations?
They're welcome to attend all of them. And part of the good thing is we'll have food at all of these graduations. We'll be sending out reminders to the affinity groups who are particularly taking part in these affinity graduations and encouraging them to attend as well. And so starting tomorrow, it's a lot of emails. It's a lot of communication to send on out to remind people, hey, don't forget, this is coming on up. We hope to see you there. Another thing that we're anticipating making changes for the future is looking at the dates and times of the graduations. These are happening during finals week. This was something that I inherited, was these dates, because that's where rooms were reserved. And I don't know if it's necessarily the best time to have these affinity graduations when some of these students are maybe taking a final. And they have to choose, do I take my final or do I do this affinity graduation? They're going to take the final. And so we're trying to move things to either the week before. So it would be actually happening the last week of April, the early part of May. Uh-huh. During the students, they refer it as the, what's that called? The week before finals, it's the study week.
Yes.
So it's during study week, have the graduations instead of finals week, and to have them in the evenings so that they're not being done during the day, so that more parents, family, and friends can attend and support their students who are graduating. And so that's a shift that we'll be making for next year.
Excellent. Sounds good. When it comes to faculty and staff, we talked about earlier about them helping. Mm-hmm. So in what kind of capacity are they doing that? Are they saying, hey, well, I'm of this particular heritage and, you know, can we say we can have this particular entertainment? How are they performing in that role?
So it really depends on the affinity group. So some will gather and come up with a plan. And say, these are our recommendations as an affinity group. They'll send out an email to all of the members. What recommendations do you have for keynote speakers? What recommendations do you have for potential entertainment? Should we do this or that? And then they bring that feedback when we have our planning meetings for how we're going to have these cultural graduations take place. So I think that's where the faculty staff have a say as part driven through the affinity groups for each of these affinity graduation that we're doing.
Excellent, excellent. So with having events like these, I'm sure that there are challenges that comes up. So as these challenges come up with, you know, maybe within the different affinity groups, not saying that there will be, but if they are, how are you prepared to face those challenges?
These are going to go very smooth, and we won't have any problems, I'm pretty sure of it. But if their challenges do come up, I think part of what it is trying to be as proactive as we can to think out scenarios that we may run into related to any of these affinity groups. I think a lot of pre-planning has settled us in a good place. So the challenge, I think, for that we are facing, and I touched base on just a little while ago, is the timing of the graduations, which we're going to make the change for next year. We can't do nothing about it this year.
Uh-huh.
Having the number of students who are eligible to participate, that's a challenge. So making the registration and today, because we have to get everything ready to go for numbers as we plan for the event, which is happening next week, I think we probably could push the registration earlier and have given us a little bit more time. So that might be a challenge. I would like to see more graduates at this. And again, as I said, the numbers so far are larger than the numbers we had the previous year. So for me, that's a win. But it's not where I'm going to stop at. I mean, the bar is just barely being set.
Yeah. Okay. When it came to advertising for these different graduations, how did you advertise for them?
So a lot of it was done through Involvement Center. That's how students were able to register, and that's how emails and everything were being sent out to graduate students. We had a student, Andres. He was actually, I'm sorry, they were the ones who came and designed the Latinx and the Lavender Grad flyers that we used, and the larger general flyer that we sent on out to Involvement Center that had all the affinity groups on it. They did a wonderful job, and this was a student whose background is in marketing who said, I would volunteer and help.
Oh, wow.
And so that's how the flyers were developed. So, Andres, thank you. Big help in that sense. And again, this was us being able to use the talents of our students who, Andres, will be graduating and participating in two of our cultural graduations.
Wow. So you're going to need an Andres for next year.
Yeah. So hopefully as an alum, if not a new student who could come forward and help us, that would be great because marketing and flyer making and design like that is not my area of expertise.
I totally understand that. So how do affinity graduations align with the broader goals and missions of UNLV?
Again, it falls nicely in line in regards to being a Tier 2 institution and all of the mission statements and the value statements of the university. Diversity has been spoken upon greatly as a benchmark that the university prides itself on. And so by honoring these affinity graduations, it's only speaking to the diversity of this campus that there is a need, there is a want, and I think there's a demand for it from our student population saying we're being recognized and we're not just enrolling these students to UNLV, but we're graduating them, which is the final benchmark that we needed to do as an institution. And I think, again, falls in line making sure that we're graduating our students and not just enrolling them. And I think by supporting the affinity graduations, that showing the retention efforts that the university is working and striving towards. And it's also then highlighting that the diversity of our students who are graduating are reflective not only of the campus, but of the Las Vegas community.
Excellent, excellent. You know, and especially with UNLV being a MSI institution, minority-serving institution, I think it's a great idea having these different affinity groups graduation to actually just recognize those students in their particular culture and letting them be themselves, letting them feel, you know, seen, have that sense of belonging that we always talk about. You know, and just being able to share and have fun with their families. After, you know, of course, doing all of that for the affinity graduation, then going on to the larger university graduation, which I think takes place on May 11th, correct?
On May 11th, correct.
Yeah, so this is excellent. So can you share a memorable moment or moments or success story from the past affinity graduations at all?
So again, new to UNLV, haven't seen them happen here, but at previous institutions that I've been at, I've been involved with affinity graduations at that last institution. And for me, it's having the opportunity, and hopefully my future will be that I can be here to see the incoming first-year students and transfer students who get here, get to know them as individuals, and then see them graduate at one of our affinity graduations.
Yeah.
And so for me, that's always been the hallmark of my experience with students, is when I get to meet them as a first-year student to the university, and then being a part of the affinity graduations and seeing them walk across that stage and reminding them where they started and now where they're ending at. And so for me, that's always been why I do the work that I do. And I think it, again, stays connected to what this institution's about. And UNLV is supporting our diverse student populations. And again, as you mentioned, the minority-serving institution, we're a Hispanic-serving institution. We're in an ANAPESI institution. So it makes sense that these are happening. Yeah. And it also makes sense that these can get bigger.
Yeah. You know, and I'm new here at UNLV as well. Here at LOA as interim director. You're
really?
My director.
Okay. Just
full disclosure, everyone. But even in my experience at San Diego State, I came from San Diego State here to UNLV. I've been at those affinity graduations, and I've taken part in them as well. And I've seen where families have gotten together on stage after the graduation mm-hmm. is over and were able to take pictures. And I even heard one mother say, you know, it feels like I'm a part of this mm-hmm. with her daughter graduating. And she felt like she was a part of her daughter's graduation mm-hmm. because it was a cultural thing. There were some cultural rituals that was done there that she was familiar with. She was able to go up on stage and mm-hmm. take pictures. But at the overall graduation at San Diego State, that opportunity wasn't extended. So they're able to do that at these affinities mm-hmm. graduations. So it's excellent. Before we end, because we're coming to a close here, what advice or what would you like students to know when it comes to the graduations and what they need to do? And actually, let me ask you this. How can a student contact you if they want to contact you regarding a graduation?
So the best way to get a hold of me is through email. And so that would be first name, R-E-Y-E-S, period, L-U-N-A, which is Luna. And then it's the at unlv.edu, so reyes.luna@unlv.edu would be the best way to send me an email, especially those who are not graduating this year but are planning to be a graduate next year. We're going to start building out our committees in January of next year so that we're planning far well in advance, and we'll be looking for some students to also be a part of that committee.
Okay. And let me ask you this. Is it too late for this particular graduation for students to email you if they wanted to volunteer just to get a taste and see what it's like in case they're going to be graduating the next year?
No, I think if there are students who are interested in volunteering, they can shoot me an email and I'll be happy to reach out to them and we can find a place for the students to participate and get involved. And again, hopefully this could be an opportunity even for students just to come see what it looks like so that they know what they could be expecting for their graduation. I doubt we're going to be turning anybody away. So,
absolutely. Great, great. Any closing remarks on any of this or something I didn't ask you that you would like for the audience to know?
No. The only thing that I would say, again, this year is going to be our benchmark for these affinity graduations, and they will only get bigger and better as the years go on. And so I encourage both faculty, staff, and students, if you have the time and are available.
Absolutely. Great. Thank you. Dr. Reyes, thank you so very much for coming here to Public Radio, KUNV 91.5. Let's Talk UNLV. And that's a wrap.
For more Let's Talk UNLV, be sure to follow us on social media where you can get the latest updates on the show plus great behind-the-scenes content. We're on Facebook at Let's Talk UNLV Podcast, Twitter at Let's Talk UNLV, and Instagram at Let's Talk UNLV Pod.